Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. A few weeks ago, we reported on a partnership between United Healthcare and Milwaukee Area Technical College aimed at reducing the shortage of nurses in Wisconsin, especially in urban areas such as Milwaukee. But nurses are not the only professionals in short supply in the city.
A doctor shortage, especially among primary care physicians, has been mounting for some time as well, and it leads to particular issues in already underserved parts of the city. But a University of Wisconsin program is underway to change this dynamic as well.
The Training in Urban Medicine and Public Health, or TRIUMPH, program is based in Milwaukee. It's a focus within the broader curriculum for students at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. The effort is led by the medical school's Dr. Cynthia Hawk. Michelle Bielow went through the program and is now the associate director for TRIUMPH, based at the 16th Street Community Health Center. They joined us in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Let me ask you a general question to start. What's behind the doctor shortage in urban areas versus anyplace else?
Well, we have a worldwide doctor shortage. We have one in the United States, and we have one in Wisconsin, both in rural and in urban areas. And so this is really a global phenomenon that the world is facing. We're not training enough doctors.
Is there something different about it in the context of a city versus anyplace else?
Most people, when they think of doctor shortages, think of rural areas. It's surprising to find out that here in Milwaukee, the biggest city in Wisconsin, we actually have a shortage of primary care physicians, not enough doctors to provide basic health care services for the majority of the population.
And that's the majority of the population. Are there some areas that are particularly underserved?
Well, there are certainly areas in the central city of Milwaukee where there are insufficient numbers of primary care physicians. We have plenty of physicians. If you look at absolute numbers for Milwaukee County, there's not a shortage of physicians. But when you drill down to the neighborhood and zip code level, there are many communities that do not have access to a physician.
How did this gap start to open up? Or why did this gap start to open up?
I think this is a complex phenomenon because it takes years to train a physician, to retain a physician, and to really provide support for their practice. These days, most physicians are employed by health systems, and health systems, not surprisingly, tend to set up their headquarters in communities where revenues will be greater. So if you look at large pockets of poverty, such as what we have here in Milwaukee, many of the health systems that were serving these communities have actually left, closed shop, and moved to more affluent communities.
Well, so then let's talk about the work of TRIUMPH and how it seeks to do something different and kind of turn that paradigm around.
So TRIUMPH, Training in Urban Medicine and Public Health, is a UW Medical School urban health track that's specifically designed to recruit, train, and retain physicians working in urban underserved communities. We decided to place this program in Milwaukee because of the shortages, because of the vibrant diversity of Milwaukee communities, and because we felt that many students, if only given the opportunity to see what it was like to practice in Milwaukee, would decide to remain here for their careers. And indeed, we've already found that's the case.
Well, and I guess this is where you come in, Michelle Bielow. What was it that drew you to the program to begin with, and what was it that kept you in the program?
Yeah, so I was a part of TRIUMPH when it first started. It was a pilot program back in 2009, and I always say the program was very much in its infancy, and it's developed tremendously and expanded several times since I was first a student in the program back then.
And it was a shorter length program at the time, right?
Yeah, it was only a 6-month program when I first started, and now it's 18 months. So, but it was being able to move to Milwaukee and work in a community setting, being mentored by amazing, inspiring faculty and community physicians who understood what it meant to kind of work in the community and understood the needs outside of just the clinic walls, being able to take care of a patient and their family and address kind of the other determinants of health. And so it was just a tremendous experience for me and actually motivated kind of my career trajectory and where I chose to do my residency program and then how I chose to come back to Milwaukee, and I now work at a community health center.
Does the program sort of tap into something that some sort of more basic motivation in terms of why people choose to go into medicine in the first place, do you think? I mean, this sort of maybe bigger altruistic sense of what you get out of being a practicing physician?
Well, I say the key to the program is recruiting students like Michelle who are already motivated and really dedicated and determined to serve underserved communities. If you find those students who are already motivated, then you just create the conditions for them to reinforce that commitment.
And I think medical school, I mean, it's well known in the literature that as med students go throughout their training and throughout residency, kind of there's what's called compassion fatigue and burnout. And people that may decide that they came to medical school to work with underserved communities might not end up doing it in the long run because there are certain unique challenges. And having the opportunity to work with a program like Triumph where you're kind of surrounded by a community of peers who all share similar values, and also having those inspiring faculty mentors and compassionate physicians that are your mentors and role models, it really just kind of, for me, it kind of almost helped me form my professional identity, or at least the start of it.
How does the training that takes place in this program differ from any other kind of medical school training?
Well, I'll just start by saying that, first of all, we were granted permission by our medical school to take our students out of the clinic and hospital for a full half day per week. That doesn't sound like much, but over the span of a couple years, it begins to add up. With a lot of experience engaging in the community, the students are involved with projects improving health, promoting health, getting to know people, and their history, their background, their culture. That makes for a very big difference as compared to seeing sick patients in the hospital. And Michelle can elaborate further what it felt like for her.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it goes towards addressing not just the needs of the community, but also looking at the assets of each of our communities and the resources that we have. And I think that goes a long, long way. When you're, you know, now when I'm in the clinic and if I see a patient who has certain needs, I know so much about, you know, what resources are available and what organizations can I send this patient to for discounted acupuncture or to receive resources for domestic violence or things like that. And so being able to understand not just the issues and the issues or health problems, but turning it around and saying there's all these great assets. And being able to learn about those while in medical school is pretty unique. And it's I'm still constantly learning through Triumph, and it's informing my practice at my clinic right now.
You talked about, I think you used the term, special challenges to dealing with this kind of underserved population a few minutes ago. And I'm curious what the particular challenges are with the demographic, with the patients that you see versus patients in kind of the population at large.
Yeah. So, well, I work at the 16th Street Community Health Center, and so we have a very large uninsured population, primarily immigrants. We also see a number of refugees. And so one of the very obvious barriers is just language. Health literacy is always an issue. Uninsured, underinsured. So just being able to provide primary care services is one thing, but then if a patient comes in and they need additional services or they need to see a specialty, being able to kind of navigate how can we find them affordable medications, how can we get them in to see a specialist without insurance, and then addressing all of the other complex layers of perhaps a patient's living in poverty, they have limited income, dealing with immigration or documentation status is a whole other factor, and all of the mental health issues that come along with kind of living with perpetual anxiety and fear. So there's a lot of other issues, and sometimes we say some of my patients, I think some of their psychosocial issues are much more complex than the medical issues that we're actually addressing. And so being able to be informed and how can we address those as well as their medical issues is something that I think we have to do every day. And that's just part of the nature, but also a lot of the rewards of working with these patients.
And I'll add that what we've learned through a public health approach is that patients' health status has more to do with what we call the social factors that influence health and illness, not just medical care. So access to medical care is a small part, maybe 20% of health outcomes. The rest is where people live, work, and play, their social relationships, their behavior, the influence of the people around them. And so really taking all of this into account when you're dealing with patients who are living in poverty, facing racism, or other types of discrimination, this adds to their stress level, and it actually ends up having health effects and oftentimes untoward health outcomes. I say that I never saw people with such high blood pressure in my entire career, and I've worked all over the world until I came to Milwaukee and practiced in the Central City.
And the thing that's remarkable about what you just said is that this is largely not just an access to care issue we're talking about.
That's right, because the health is so tied up with social circumstances, economic circumstances, discrimination. And particularly in these political times, there's a heightened state of anxiety and uncertainty about what the future will hold. Will the Affordable Care Act be repealed? What will happen to nearly 100,000 people in Milwaukee County who've gotten insurance through the Affordable Care Act if that's repealed and not replaced?
You mentioned the idea of compassion fatigue, and, you know, Triumph, for all of its strengths, is only one program in a much larger sea of, to mix my metaphors here, of this urban and broader doctor shortage. You know, how do you continue to deal with the possibility of compassion fatigue?
Part of it is building resilience. We talk a lot about humanism and finding the humanism in medicine, using your colleagues, relying on your peers to be able to share, you know, in some of the challenges, but also in some of the triumphs and when things do go well and being able to celebrate those kind of small victories. I think Triumph has done an incredible job in training our students in building resilience, and self-care is another big thing that we work on a lot.
How do you find the right people for this program?
Well, I think the right people are finding us, I could say that. I think since Triumph has been around, we are getting students from around the country who are coming to UW specifically for the program. But it's a competitive process. We do have a selection committee, and students are selected based on their prior motivation to work with disadvantaged populations and their desire to promote health equity. So there's an application process, and we do interviews and letters of recommendation and select students based on all of those above factors.
Since the program started, we've had to turn students away. We're recruiting students from, you know, New York to Los Angeles who are coming to Wisconsin in order to be part of Triumph. We're also really proud of our graduates like Dr. Belo, who are practicing not just here in Milwaukee, but in major cities across the U.S., most of whom are working with populations who have high rates of poverty, are medically underserved, and are really making a difference in becoming leaders in their communities.
You know, as you say, there's a doctor shortage everywhere. So does the cost of the doctor shortage in Brookfield or Wauwatosa look different than it does when we're talking about 53206?
So the answer is yes. There are designated areas called health professional shortage areas, or HPSAs, as we call them. And those are the areas where there is a human resource shortage, where we're not meeting the threshold for primary care providers. And those are usually in areas that are low income in specific zip codes, not so much in the suburbs or in the surrounding areas of Milwaukee.
That's right. And we can also link the health professional shortage areas with actual adverse health outcomes. If a patient does not have a primary care physician, they're more likely to show up in the emergency department, more likely to be hospitalized, more likely to suffer adverse consequences of problems that could have been prevented or minimized had they been seeing a primary care physician. We have zip codes in the Central City of Milwaukee where the average life expectancy is 10 or more years less than surrounding zip codes. Why is that? Part of it is because of a difficulty accessing medical care services. Part of it is because of the social and economic stresses that we discussed. I'll tell you, once the Affordable Care Act opened up coverage to patients, we had hundreds of patients lined up to get appointments, many of whom hadn't seen a physician for 10 or 20 years because they had been uninsured. And so having insurance is important, but you can have insurance if you still don't have the doctors. It's not going to make much of a difference. We know that almost half of the emergency department visits in the county of Milwaukee are not emergencies. They could have been dealt with in a primary care setting for much lower costs and much more conveniently. But in many cases, these patients don't have primary care physicians and/or they don't know how to access them appropriately.
Michelle Bilodeau, in your work, what constitutes a good day at the end of the day? When do you go home feeling like, you know, I've something's gone right?
I would say I have great days at work. There are very many challenges, and sometimes I think I normally come home and I say, oh, it was a crazy day. But I think it's a good day if I see as many patients as I can see, if I do the best that I can to help these patients in getting the healthcare that they need or getting the resources that they need, and if I feel like maybe I made a small difference in someone's life, I would say that's a good day.
Well, I feel vaguely guilty that we are taking up your time in the studio.
Please don't.
Michelle Bilodeau and Cindy Hock, thank you both so much for your work and for sharing some of it with us.
What a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Cynthia Hock is a professor of family medicine and population health sciences at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Michelle Bilodeau is associate director of the Training in Urban Medicine and Public Health, or TRIUMPH, program that's based at the 16th Street Community Health Center in Milwaukee.